Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh, he'll make you cry, but most importantly, he's gonna save you.
He'll let him speak for himself. He's got a lot to say. Ask him.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Tins.
Not getting cut off this time, damn it.
Mutants.
Sneaky.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Octavarius podcast. You know, this is episode 1, 2, 3 of the Octavarius podcast.
How are you? How is me?
How are you? How is me? How are you all?
I'm good. Thank you.
I'm very good. Thanks.
Very good after our fun show last night at
Dungeons,
Comedy Sports.
The Dungeons and Drag Queen show, but not with the, it was a complete success.
Thank you.
It was very fun.
Thanks to Dixie Cup.
Dave Fish, I believe his name was. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Good man.
Dixie Cup. A young man, actually, still enrolled in college, but put on quite the performance. As our drag queen last night.
Show. Wonderful.
Hell of a show.
Wow.
Many thanks to him and congratulations on quite a fine lip-syncing routine.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Congratulations also to our buddy Jared Mason. Who just got married over the weekend.
Was there a lot of howling during the wedding?
There wasn't any. He was the Wolfman.
Yes.
Was his nickname in college, but there was not a whole lot of Wolfman references.
I'm surprised.
I don't recall any, as a matter of fact.
But you will be happy to know
that
when his best man, his brother, did the toast for him, he ended it with zebra stripes down the pipes.
Wow.
I am pleased.
And he gave
that.
A great introduction to it, so it was really wonderful.
So yeah, now that's a thing. No one has to feel weird about it, because a non-Octavarius person got in there and started.
Matthew Mason. Spinning image of Jared Mason, as is his other brother.
As is every Mason.
Andrew Mason.
Anyway, without any further ado, let's go to the far end of the room and sound off.
Hey, it's Nick.
How's it going, man? It's LP.
Hey, it's Brian.
What's up? It's Cloud.
How'd you do? It's Chris.
Hey, it's Tins.
Yo, bro, it's Keith.
And Castelvi. Hi.
So, we've got, of course, we've got another show again on Sunday, and we've got a very special theme for it. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. What have you done? What have you failed at this time?
Oh, boy, friends.
What have you forgotten?
I forgot the mailbag.
Oh my gosh, Tins. Don't worry.
I have
something right here.
Well, you can't possibly have a mailbag.
Yeah, I do. Mark. It's right here, and let me dig in for a nice envelope here. Let me try to open it.
Oh. Probably sounds terrible.
Awful.
It does.
I'm sitting next to it, and I don't like it.
Oh, all right. This is from Veb Edels. And Theb writes, "Hey Octavarius, I'm a longtime listener of your podcast. I love your work. I could go on and on, but there's only one sheet of paper to write on. I was wondering what you guys think about awesome music, and if you have any favorite bands. My favorite band is The Beatles, which is funny because my name is Theb Edels.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Anyway, I'd love to hear what you have to say about the Beatles. Also, what's up with that?"
Thank you very much for your snail mail letter, Feb. That's funny, because we've actually got the first of a two-part show coming up this Sunday, 7 p.m. at Comedy Sports at 929 West Belmont
in sunny Chicago, Illinois.
And the Beatles just might make an appearance.
Spoiler.
You know, Tins, I know you're a pretty big Beatles fan. Nick, I know you are as well.
Yes, I'm a big Beatles fan.
Is anyone in this room not a big Beatles fan?
I'm not. I don't know much about the Beatles at all.
Yeah?
Actually.
They
were a band.
Oh, yeah? When, like, in the 80s? Or?
Yeah,
what made you, you just never were interested?
I just was never exposed to the Beatles and was never interested, really, in the Beatles.
My parents were also not interested.
Okay.
Or if they were, they didn't say it.
Beatles fans.
They are not?
Not particularly. No, they have other things that they like a lot more than the Beatles. Yeah, my mom liked the Monkees, actually.
My dad loved the Beatles. He just didn't really listen to a whole lot of music. So I felt like I wasn't really exposed to the Beatles hardly at all. I honestly had to expose myself to them in college, and that's when I kind of fell in love with a lot of their music.
So I remember you seeking out a lot of Beatles merch.
Yeah, and Scott Shogun Hogan helped me in my quest to discover a lot of new music, because he was listening to a lot of cool hip music. He was listening to a lot of classic stuff that I'd never gotten myself into. So he was kind of my gateway into discovering music that was not Green Day and The Offspring.
See, I had the flip of that. When I was a kid, I wasn't super up on popular music. But my parents listened, like, my dad especially listened to, like, Led Zeppelin and the Beatles and the Who religiously, so I knew all that really well, but I was, like, totally, like, everyone thought I was a loser because I listened to old music in school, and then when I grew up and everybody was like, oh, the Beatles are on iTunes!
But everyone knew that kid in grade school who would, like, wear the Led Zeppelin t-shirts. You're like, what are you doing?
I was of that.
Have you seen Power Rangers?
Thank
Come
you.
Come on, get with what's current.
Like there was a dude I remember from an okay buddy of mine from grade school on that he was just the Led Zeppelin guy, and he would always talk about Led Zeppelin. He'd always talk about he'd always wear Led Zeppelin merch.
Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And none of us could connect with him because that's not the time that you're supposed to get into classic rock.
Right.
But there are songs, like some of the Beatles songs, I like didn't get at all when I was a kid, and now as an adult,
That's weird for me, because like the first Beatles song I got hooked on and became a Beatles fan was like in fourth grade, was I'm the Walrus.
Really?
I liked that
because
one.
As a kid, it was just entertaining to listen to.
Yeah, that one was cool. I'm talking like Dear Prudence. I did not like that song at all when I was a kid. And then when I grew up, it was something I really... although there's a lot of songs that, like... A lot of my favorite Beatles songs as a kid are still, to this day...
Even, like...
My favorite songs.
Yeah. Like, Day in the Life, or, like, a lot of their later stuff, also... Like, I feel like their later stuff now, and when I was younger, I was into their, like, 8 days a week, and, like, I Wanna Hold Your Hand, like, all their early stuff.
What's the deal with 8 days a week, by the way?
It means that I love you all the time.
8 days a week.
I think I could be wrong on this one. I know a lot of their weird song titles.
Maybe like if it was like 25/9. It's like that's not how.
Like, I love you more than all the time.
A lot of their weirder song titles, ones that kind of don't make sense, are attributed to Ringo actually just fucking around and making up weird sayings. Like I know I believe A Hard Day's Night came about because Ringo just fucking said it as a weird phrase, and they're like, that's weird, Ringo. And then somebody wrote a song around it. And I believe 8 days a week was another just weird Ringoism.
We gotta work 8 days a week.
Which is weird because
What did you say? What?
We gotta work 8 days a week.
There's only 7 days.
What's so weird to me in all of the Beatles documentaries that I've seen, Ringo makes the most sense to me in, like, all the things that he says, like, the things he was unhappy with. He was like, I just didn't like things musically. I thought they were just doing things that were the same, and, you know, just all these things that he said made the most sense to me, and everybody rips on Ringo so much. I don't love Ringo, but...
I mean, he doesn't
seem like that much of an out there dude.
You gotta have.
To the rest of the
I team. Feel like in every band, you gotta have one person that you designate like the lowest member of the band. But
that's the drummer.
But I mean, there, I think
Fred
there's
Durst,
I think
or the,
there's
or the bassist.
There's somebody. There's something to be said about being the shittiest member of the Beatles.
Yeah.
I think it's very interesting that...
What do you think was shitty about Ringo? I don't think he was shitty.
I don't think he was
wasn't
shitty.
An extraordinary drummer.
He was not. That's why people shit on him. He was not a very... he's not a very stylistic drummer.
Wasn't the drummer before that he either left or they kicked out of the group? Wasn't he, like, an amazing drummer?
Yeah, the quote is, the original drummer was a better drummer, but Ringo was a better Beatle.
That was it, yeah.
I just Google searched Ringo Starr, and the first thing that pops up is an article that reads, fifth best drummer in America, Ringo Starr is 71 and still improving.
But I just feel I don't think he was bad. I feel that he played the beats that were necessary for
yes,
the song.
I think he just didn't. Yeah,
what's wrong with a simple beat?
Yeah, he just didn't go. He didn't go out there, and he didn't make himself perhaps as well known as the other Beatles. He didn't flaunt, I guess, his drumming skills. You know, mm-hmm. and you're right. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think that's because he had, at least on the surface, he seemed to have the most introverted personality. I think that's what sort of outed him as the weird Beatle.
He's not very attractive.
No. He is hideous.
Compared to the other Beatles.
He's not a good looking man.
And the other ones were known like for having such musical genius and really pushing the boundaries of music and changing what's acceptable music, whereas as Ringo was.
And they were,
he kept up, but you know, he didn't really.
Well, the others were not just about changing how music sounds, but like really literally changing the world with their music.
Well, Ringo was trying to change the calendars to 8-day weeks. That's huge.
That's pretty big.
Huge.
That really fucked up the seasons.
Everything.
Yeah. So,
it's huge.
Since Caesar.
So, like, like Revolver was really big in changing pop music in the way that it went. It used all these non-traditional instruments and whatnot, and the Beatles are credited with being so innovative in changing pop music. But I feel like the Beach Boys kind of get the shaft in it all. Because I feel like Pet Sounds came out at just about the same time as Revolver.
I think Pet Sounds was just after Revolver.
It was right after.
I believe Revolver was 1965. Pet Sounds was 66.
Is that it?
I could be wrong.
There's some Beach Boys album that came out and like, yeah, we're gonna be number one. And then like a Beatles album came out right after that, and that's when the dude got all depressed. Yeah.
Pet Sounds
like,
was
filled his room with sand.
Brian Wilson, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting Pet Sounds was 1965 and
Revolver was 64.
Revolver was, or sorry, Pet Sounds was 66. Oh, Revolver was 66 too.
I think Revolver was right after
Revolver was,
Pet Sounds.
Yeah, Revolver was August and Pet Sounds was May. Oh yeah, you're right. Pet Sounds did come out earlier.
Yeah,
made him like all depressed.
And the Beatles
like,
made fun of them.
Beat us up.
It was the back in the USSR was a joke on the Beach Boys.
Yeah, and I very much enjoy the Beach Boys, and I think Pet Sounds is one of the greatest albums, if not, you know, I think it's like top three.
I think it's widely regarded as being in the top 10,
and
pretty universally.
And I think, I don't know, it's weird. I feel that the Beatles, maybe because the Beatles were less crazy, that it was okay.
I've never heard Pet Sounds. I have no idea what it is.
Really?
It's not a crazy testament to harmonizing in popular music.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of the best. Like, the one, I think the... The one that comes after that that does really well is Weezer's Blue Album and Pinkerton.
Are there any meows?
There are Pet Sounds in the album Pet Sounds. But I feel that the album Pet Sounds, sorry, this is now we're on a little bit of a tangent, but...
What?
I feel
in the
that,
podcast?
Spoiler.
But I feel that Pet Sounds is probably the quintessential album to give to an American teenager.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how to deal with growing up in the United States. I feel it's very objective. If you look at the lyrics and you listen to the music, I feel like you can
I think that's a great album to give to a teenager as well that hasn't been exposed to music that's not of their specific generation. If you want to tell them that music used to be and it was doing really awesome things over 50 years ago, that's an amazing album to give them. I also think I would give, as far as Beatles albums, I would give a teenager, I think, Sgt. Pepper over Revolver. I want to introduce them to the Beatles and show them what the Beatles were sort of capable of as far as musical ability and songwriting ability and just general innovation, I think it would be Sgt. Pepper.
Is that your favorite?
I think it waxes and wanes, but usually Sgt. Pepper is almost always the top one. It's usually it's always like the top two.
Yeah, that was the one I listened to all the time.
Mine is the Magical Mystery Tour, which isn't a real proper album, right? That one is what, a full bunch of B-sides? Is that?
Yeah.
Something about the Beatles that I think is so cool, and then there's a lot of other bands, Beach Boys too, is that, you know, their first albums are really bright, very cheery, not especially deep in content.
Mm-hmm.
It is straight up pop. It's popular music.
Rock.
It's
rock and roll.
It's like very lighthearted. It is, you know, songs like "I Want to Hold Your Hand." It's very simple. It's so simple.
And that's what music was at the time. There really wasn't a game changer
that
could make rock stand out. Anything else.
But it still happens now. Like, let's say like Radiohead, mm-hmm. whereas I'm never going to say that any of their music was ever especially bright and cheery, but Creep is a lot simpler than you know, In Rainbows. In Rainbows is a much more complex album. Than you know, their first stuff. And I think that's so cool, the bands that start simple...
And you could see their evolution. The audience,
and you can see this huge, like, deeper understanding of music as they progress, over 20 years.
Yeah, I think it's hard to argue... It's hard to argue that the Beatles were not the most innovative at doing that, at evolving throughout their career. Right. But I think Radiohead, I'd probably put them at a very, very close second.
But yeah, they're wonderful.
I feel like one thing that was so cool about the Beatles was my favorite Beatles album is Abbey Road.
That's what mine is, too.
I love that one, too.
And I feel that Abbey Road is almost a return to the rhythm and blues
roots. That's what they said when it first came out. They were like, you took all the fun, risky stuff you did, but you brought it back to the early, just like rhythm and blues, just fun and simple music. And that's why it's my favorite. Mm-hmm. It's the best of both worlds. In that.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like Miley Cyrus. It's the best of both.
See, I love the simplicity of like just all their... Most of their songs in general, especially Abbey Road.
Well, okay, you guys bring up the idea of like evolving and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I always think it's really interesting when you talk to somebody old. Because somebody old, more often than not, there are old people that...
You're talking about baby boomers?
Are exception to this.
Greatest generation?
Yeah, baby boomers. If you were a kid while the Beatles were huge... I know a lot of boomers who will tell you, and this is true in every generation, they tell you that music's garbage, mm-hmm. and it's terrible, and then like back in their day it was something, and then now it's all gone to hell and it's garbage. And like, I think it's funny that that's what was said about the Beatles originally. Originally it was just kind of, it was teenage girls screaming and, you know, like now it's so respected in hindsight, and like any time... Some person tries, you know, who's way older than me, tries something that, like, good music died at some point.
I think, I sort of hate that, because I think that's a fallacy that's going to keep on going forever.
Yeah.
Like, I can't fucking stand those Facebook statuses people will post where, like, in the left column is a beautiful, poetic, like, Led Zeppelin lyric. And then on the right, it's just like, baby, 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 baby. Like, how music has changed. Yeah. Like, no, that's how some music is now, right. And really
so
good music was then.
There's so many genres.
Zeppelin said baby all the time.
Songs.
Yeah.
And made sounds.
Yes. That's what I just, when we started talking about this, I looked up Led Zeppelin to talk about what I think, like, rock music hasn't been as good, in my opinion,
as it was
in the 60s or
70s. Classic, like, four-piece guitar rock.
Right.
Like, yeah. I don't think anyone really did it better than Led Zeppelin, as far as that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same token, there's so much new stuff that's out.
Like,
you know, when the
White
Stripes first came out, I was like, this is just as good as Zeppelin. Now that time's gone on, I'm like, I'm a little tired of Jack White, but...
I love getting older to see what lasts.
And to see
what people respond to years later.
And
like,
even
like Will Smith has stood the test of time. It's so hilarious.
As a star.
A musician.
But the second you start rapping the Fresh Prince theme song, most people
people in our generation, I don't know about like
older people.
Well, you guys seen that
but they're gonna die, Matt.
Aaron's just on his
Yes!
Will Smith is taking care of this.
Get no credit. I also get credit. You get credit.
The test of time shows what lasts. And although those people shat on the Beatles have clearly lasted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, and I even showed, I'm like, you know, to my uncle, I was arguing with my uncle about this, And you know, I'm like, good music hasn't died. Look at how many kids listen to the Beatles. Like, Beatles Rock Band was all over TV at the time, and there were giant billboards about iTunes. I'm like, kids, and then, you know, like, that was supposed to be some because, like, oh, well, you know, of course they're still around. Like, they'll still always be around, but all this garbage that's out there right now. But, I haven't heard Ringo Starr and Paul talk about what they listen to right now. I'm sure they listen to other shit.
Because the people talk like everyone in the Beatles is dead, but there's two Beatles that are still alive.
Paul McCartney is dead.
And I still don't. I just don't give a shit, man.
Paul McCartney played for like three hours straight. I would go home. YouTube Paul McCartney at Wrigley Field, and you should be amazed at like however old he is.
I won't be amazed.
He played for hours straight.
I'm sorry.
Dude, you will.
I don't have to be.
I went outside Wrigley to listen. I stood outside Wrigley Field to listen to him play Hey Jude. It was amazing.
He played for hours.
Dude, he made the most powerful finish to any song that's ever been.
Yeah, like it's so awesome to sing. It unites
worlds, man.
Fuck, it's so fun. It's like years, like way from now when they're dead. Like, you might lie about seeing Paul McCartney so your grandkids think you're cool.
I saw him, I met him.
He was alive. I got to live during
that time. I'm not a liar. I'm not going to lie to my children.
You don't know what you'll turn into.
I resent the fact that you
have you ever talked to an old person?
Even if you're
gonna
lie, you think that I'm going to be a bad parent? Fuck you, dude. you're lucky I don't ask you to leave right now. Because how dare you, Sam?
You're just telling my children. It's my apartment. You can't throw them out of my place.
I'm that angry.
Okay.
My dad's a huge Beatles fan. Like, when I was little, he introduced me to all their albums and all the Beatles movies and everything. He told me that when he was little, they played, like, down the block from him in, like, Chicago for $5, and he didn't go. Why didn't I go?
My dad almost got, almost rushed the stage when they played in Cleveland at Shea? No. What stadium was that?
Not Shea.
Jacobs Field. No, whatever stadium it was. It was in Jacobs Field.
The place that the Indians play at.
Yeah. Him and his high school friends were about to, like, rush onto the field, and they got, like, tackled by cops.
Oh, my God.
Which, now, most people would be like, is that, like, my dad making up a story? But then I found out that, like, actually my dad was a little bit of a troublemaker.
I can see it. Not as straight-laced as
I thought he was.
You really thought your father was straight-laced?
Totally thought he was.
I could have told you your father was a wild man the first second I met him.
Look at his eyes.
Look in your father's eyes. He's got a fire in his eyes.
My dad was boring. My dad was straight-laced.
My dad was cool, I think.
Yeah,
he totally turned lame.
My
dad was in a fucking frat.
There is a bit of fire in your father's eyes, man.
I know. He used to be like really cool, like real dude. I seen pictures and he's shirtless
with
a mustache and like '80s cutoff jeans by like a Camaro. Textbook 80s, man. And I'm like, this guy must have been cool in the 80s.
Castelvi, does that worry you that you might in turn become lame when
I'm lame now. I'm getting, you know, we're all getting old, you know. I feel like sometimes I don't go out as much at all. I'll just stay inside. I'm like, I don't feel like going out.
But we've still got our core. We've still got our spirit.
Oh, man. It's
Off your shirt and put on like a little pair of like jean shorts and like just got next to a sweet ass Camaro.
Dude, that's still no one cool. wants to see that ever.
You make it work.
I gotta thank you, Chris.
I appreciate the compliment, though.
You provided a segue that I've been trying to get to. I really want to ask your opinion. When do you think men like me, or all of us, mm-hmm. could start wearing like really short shorts
now.
And still come off as like just guys, just regular old guys.
Maybe in the next 10 years you can do that in Wicker Park.
I think we could get away with it.
Absolutely. As a hipster, you could pretend to be a hipster and just
Because I think it's more gay to do that. You're talking about really short shorts.
Like this. Well, you guys can't see it listening at home, of course.
But if he's acting straight.
Pretty short.
If you're as straight as a fucking arrow, yet you wear those cutoffs, you will win.
Yeah, man.
Shawn Michaels proved this in the mid-90s. You can dress as gay as you want, but if you are a man through and through, you will shine brighter than the brightest star.
And terrify children.
Well, fashion trends are always cyclical. Legs. They always come back.
Yeah, and they used to do it.
You so, do it.
I feel, I think there's...
You got the legs for it.
In women, I feel like women's fashion has a lot of now 80s tendencies.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But
yeah,
I don't see what high waists now are coming back again. But for males, I don't...
Cray.
Yeah, I
just
don't see it.
Did any of your fathers ever get the Beatles haircut?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
My father did.
Dude,
my dad's hair was down to his fucking shoulders.
Yeah, mine was too, actually. I think
my
was
dad
was
a straight-up hippie, dude.
Yeah.
Like, my dad fucking, like, yeah, it's like the pictures of him. Or when my dad used to drive us to school, we had to drive these two girls that were in our class, and one got out of the car, and she's just like, "Your dad looks like Jesus." And that was the thing, my dad, he just had his long, flowing hair. He was just a nice guy driving.
So
like,
I had a bowl cut when I was little.
Does that count? It's close enough.
Okay.
I mean, a big thing with the Beatles is how much they influenced what society did. You know, their hair, the way they dressed, and then eventually they embraced the counterculture movement, and they embraced you know, kind of a drug culture. They openly talked about smoking marijuana. They openly talked about using LSD.
Well, they were just so big at that time that anything they were cool with, a huge portion of the world was also just cool with. Beatles are doing it; it must be cool.
I mean, who else had that type of influence? I mean, like besides like maybe Queen Victoria on furniture.
Not on that many people.
Well, I mean,
it wasn't
solely on them. I mean, as a
whole.
Well,
sure.
Like, the whole rock and roll movement, that's what rock and roll was at that time.
Yeah,
you know,
Bob Dylan,
like,
I would say.
Even if they led the way, there was a bunch of other people moving it along.
Everyone's paving the way.
I mean, you know? I feel like I could stand on an argument that the Beatles really set trends. You could point to, like...
Oh, yeah, they did, but I'm just saying, like, these, like,
say
like
the same
you
about
said, talking
a,
about...
A lot of Well, celebrities at the time, too.
I feel that the Beatles more so. I feel that, like, they were a phenomenon.
There's this story, like, apparently, like, when Paul was arrested for, like, marijuana or something, like, in the late 60s, he was rushed by a bunch of reporters, and they were like, we're about to report a story that you and, like, I forgot which, if it was George or another Beatle, are for possession of marijuana. He's like, you can report that. And the reporter brought up, like, you are aware that you're going to affect, like, the youth of, like, the 60s or the youth of this thing. It's like, you can report as much as you... Or you can ask us, and we can tell you that we can confess to it, but you're the one who's putting that in that newspaper, and that's the newspaper that everyone's going to read, so whose fault is it really?
Mm.
So it's a really interesting... Like, I read it up, like...
Wow.
That's such power.
Power.
Yeah.
Power of the
media. How many other people have been able to have that kind of power?
You mentioned Bob Dylan. I think he had, like... a ton of influence over the counterculture of the 60s, for sure.
Yeah, I haven't gotten into... I never really listened to Dylan when I was younger, and then now that I'm older, like,
yeah.
I'm just starting to listen to some Dylan. Like, it's good.
Yeah, I've been getting in there for a couple of years. He's just got such a big collection.
Yeah.
It's like,
and he's still alive.
I saw him.
He's still alive, and it sounds like his shows are real weird now.
Yeah. He, like, doesn't move. He was like a statue man.
Well, he does... what he's been doing for a while now in his concerts is he'll play his most famous songs, but... not really. Like, he just always
he
is like, he's always reinventing what, like, a Rolling Stone is. He'll always play it in a different fashion, like,
really?
Switch the words around. Yeah. So it'll be his song, but you've never heard it like that. And a lot of people really dig that, and a lot of people were like, God damn it, Dylan, just give me, like, a Rolling Stone how I want to hear it.
Yeah, that would probably annoy me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw him a couple of years ago, and I don't know if he did, like, a Rolling Stone, I forget, but he literally stood there and just went through, like, a ton of the classics and, like, didn't, no banter, no talking to the audience in between, like, no movement at all. He's like, here are my songs, and, like, that was his set.
That's some people's stage presence, though. That he's got, like, he's sort of like how the Strokes are, or something like that. You
it's
know,
like he was in an animatronic band.
Like, not
like
much.
Weird.
Yeah, like, no acknowledgement. You're just there to play your songs, and then you're done.
Yeah, his voice has gotten crazy shy.
I just
like, oh.
I was like reminded of him recently. He like he said something cool when he does talk. Mm-hmm. He'll just say like really cool like random snippet things.
But he I feel like he rarely comes out and talks. I feel like he's a he's like a hermit prophet.
He, he told a bunch of reporters once that they're terrible. But he did it really poetically. Like, they came up and, like, asked him, like, a really dumb shit question. He said something about that maybe, you know, he gave him some answer, and he's like, maybe there's a good story. Hopefully
frogs
one of you will get a good story.
Frogs are quasars, and lip tongues are cows. I am sorry. You are not good.
Ah, it's so poetic.
That's a dumb shit question.
Yeah, Bob Dylan I used to hate just because of his voice. I was like, what is this? Man cannot sing. But yeah, like you said, growing older, like, he's just such a good storyteller. Like, there's just crazy, like,
well, nobody.
It's a different type of music. It's like, it invokes a different feeling.
I mean, it is interesting him because I can get into a lot of it. Sometimes I'm just not really in the mood for Dylan, but I think it's so cool that like he had the balls to record songs that were like 11, 12, 13 minutes and that barely change. It was like one verse, barely a chorus, and then rinse and repeat for 13 minutes.
Yeah, he's like some 8-minute songs, like some.
So like, I'm not always gonna listen to those songs front to back, but I gotta respect that that's what he's doing, and people are cool with it.
Man, it sucked that the Beatles broke up.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Yeah, like if they had broken up, or if they hadn't broken up, rather, they would all. We'd have so much more music, even if John still got shot in 1980, we'd still have a decade's more worth of pure Beatles music. But I guess the question is, would that have been a good thing?
Yeah, would it have been shitty?
Maybe you're supposed to have ended it when
shitty.
It did.
I think it
yeah,
been
shitty.
Best.
Like it ended because it had to end.
It ended because it had to end. It's like the amount of like just fighting and like there are certain songs on Let It Be, I think, that are recorded or like. Some songs that were like John and Paul are not in the same room. Recording.
Yeah, I think it was Let It Be. Like one day, Ringo would just come in and lay down his drum part
and then leave. Yeah,
yeah.
And like that's not how a band's gonna survive or like create like really the same caliber of music.
Yeah.
They're doing.
So I guess that's the question: is would they have gone on another 10 years still making albums, but like increasingly furious with each other?
Yeah.
So they were still making music, but God, were they pissed at each other all the time.
Yeah,
you know,
I
wish they would have taken Lorne Michaels'
I wish that would have
money,
happened.
And they.
Oh, that's right. How much money did Lorne offer them to go
on
a set?
$5,000. Or no, it was
$3,000. I think it was
$3,000. Yeah, because it was $1,000 per song.
What?
Yeah, he goes on and says, you know, if the Beatles reunite on our show, you'll get $3,000. Split it up whatever way you want. I don't know if you want to give Ringo less.
Yeah.
But, like, $3,000 to come. And, like, apparently John and Paul, like, almost... Kid, like,
they were hanging out, like,
in
John's apartment. And they're like, you want to go? And they decided not to, yeah.
But, like, that would have been
so
awesome.
Funny.
Because then if the Beatles reunited then, like, from the future on, who knows, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows that maybe the Beatles
will
come
back. At least you get one crazy-ass SNL performance that would have been...
Mm-hmm.
It would have been the most legendary SNL performance of all time.
Yeah.
Especially if the stage collapsed and killed them all.
That happened
The original,
week,
like the entire Not Ready for Primetime players.
So the band that ended
dead.
Up playing, they ended up dying.
Yeah, right. Men with hats, I think.
Yeah.
Men with hats?
Poor guys.
But the men without hats.
So, it's so appropriate that they sang a safety dance song.
Without hats.
Dude, the safety dance. Men with hats, though, God rest them.
They weren't
dead.
Safe
all
enough.
Dead.
Now, here's,
you could dance if you want to, but not on stage.
I'm not sure if they were one of the bands. Who was that, Men Without Hats? Were they one of the bands that came out and said, we're fucking better than the Beatles? Because people do that.
Men Without Hats, surely.
Sure.
Not.
Yeah, that's not Men Without Hats.
Oh, I'm thinking of Oasis. I'm thinking of Oasis. I get those two mixed up.
Close.
Well, they were very popular for a short period as well.
Because they copied the Beatles. They just copied the Beatles and then said they were better than the Beatles.
Yeah,
But people were starting to think it for a while. When they first came out,
Oasis was pretty big.
It was pretty big, because it was a British band. It was a very popular British
band. Yeah, it was like the British band for a little while.
And they were always angry at each other.
Yeah, they were fighting.
It was so crazy.
Yeah, which makes you a really interesting band. If you go to a show and there's a chance they could just start beating the shit out of each other mid-show.
How fun would that be?
If the Beatles did that.
Each show, the band just dissolves into a fight. You don't know.
Sounds like the wrestling show.
Do you think that like today's relationships between bandmates is anything like the relationships between the first symphony mates? Like, the first people that came together with instruments that were experts of this particular instrument who came together to form these bigger bands of a big machine. Like, these are all individual, like, evolved things
like
that
are
now
brought together. The Yardbirds were
And when
like
you
that.
Get to the one, like, the ones that were really first doing it and playing awesome music that was just mind-blowing, like, what those people were like as people, and how they were a band of like 32 or something.
Well, like the first would be like, are you talking about like a composer would write a symphony and then have all these people come together to create this kind of thing, kind of situation?
Yeah, like some of the first ones.
Or is it just a situation where there's 30 musicians all standing around being like, well, what do you guys want to play?
What came first though? Like,
I think the composer was the one with all the power.
But I think it grew at, you know, bizarre increments, just like our music does now, that, like, probably two people came together with a couple, like, somebody had a trumpet, somebody had a flute, and they just figured out that they could do, like, if we have, like, a trumpet and a flute, it'd be better if we had, like, a lower trumpet and maybe also a higher flute.
I have a euphonium, can I play?
Yeah, you're, like, a lower trumpet, great. Yeah, and they just, you know, brought your music. Did that happen with classical instruments? Surely it did.
Well, probably like a garage band.
Traveling minstrels
would do kind of those things. They would go to taverns and
I guess they kind of have to figure out a set list. I'm sure
I think they'd be more musically talented back because they could just go from whatever.
No, here it is. The instruments are way simpler a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
They just had a bunch of them, like a French horn. They had French horns, actual horns, like a different instrument just for different keys. So you do it all with just your air and your mouth. So you don't have any fingerings that you would have on a normal brass instrument. You just have different horns that are chromatically matched with the amount of air it takes to use them. And then they got smarter and they learned how to just replace the tubing on one horn. So you just have to replace a part of the same horn. So it's easier and simpler. And like, you have to do less changes. You can do more at once. Then the French horn that had like multiple pipes with keys came out.
If there were four members of the symphony, just four fighting, you might call it a choral tet.
Give me the crown.
Oh boy.
Gotta give me the crown.
It's in my room right now, but I'll get it for you.
Yeah, pun queen. Long live the queen.
I love for how now we'll just make blatant attempts to steal the pun crown. We're just always trying to dethrone someone.
Well, when you play the Game of Thrones,
you win or you don't win.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Was that a pun or was it just a joke?
It was more of a joke.
We gotta draw the line here, people.
I'll even say, I think it was more of a joke than a pun.
Yeah, I think if you like it, it's not a pun. It's a joke.
That's a good rule.
I think that's generally how it goes.
Yeah, but I don't feel like the because I can only think of minstrels as an example of what you're talking about, and I don't feel like they were like we have to play like this.
Think they really talk like that, or as we got older, because we make fun of how old people talk now as at our age. Mm-hmm. Do you not think that's been happening so long that just the persona of the first like traveling player was just made to be really frivolous and
I just
like
think it's
airy.
more for survival. Like they have to play or to get
they
like
have
a,
to literally
get three
sing
copper
for
pieces.
Their supper.
Yeah, they like for three copper pieces or they don't eat that day.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine like an angry minstrel. Like
you can't.
All they do is stroll.
They play music all day.
They stroll because that's what's strolling is, you know, dancing and playing like that is visually and aesthetically pleasing, and they're a better, greater chance that they'll get money that way.
Yeah, they have to be pleasing for their job.
Yeah.
Not as people when they're going to
probably not. You're talking about outside the gig.
I feel like tensions between bands probably weren't as big of a thing before, like, album contracts were a thing.
Right.
Like, if you sign a piece of paper to the boss man saying you have to write like 10 songs and record them by this day, there's going to be more tension. Is there nearly as much tension when there's like four or five minstrels where if things aren't going well with the band, somebody's not just going to up and say, like, all right, I don't want to play with you guys then.
Yeah, and it was a lot... Brian, you wanted... You've been
wanting well, to we something. Just rolled over the something that was mentioned. The image of an angry minstrel just wandering the streets with a scowl on his face, singing his song to all who will listen. An angry minstrel asking for money. He puts out his hat and just tells people horrible things through his songs. I mean, like, what?
Am I the only one who just Google image search angry minstrel?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, I'm tweeting a picture of what an angry minstrel looks like. It's a child, apparently.
I just think that's such an odd concept. I've never heard of an angry minstrel, but just to think of Kurt Cobain wandering through your town.
Where the hell is Sam? I hate King George! He's an asshole!
Oh, man. Oh. Yeah, there was a lot less people then, too. There's a lot less bands and people who had access to musical instruments and talent. Whereas now, like, the music industry is extremely different than what it was when the Beatles were around. They say that if the Beatles were around today, just because of marketing and the oversaturation of the music industry, they would not be as popular as they
were. But you got to think of what the Beatles did in their time. Yeah. In Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers, he talks about how the Beatles actually were able to succeed because they played so many shows in that, what was it, the Cave? Or
the Cavern Club.
Cavern Club. They were able to play so much for so long that they not only became great musicians, they cultivated a following. They had a grassroots movement following.
Although initially they were just in Germany for that first year and a half. So at that point it was just doing 16-hour sets, 18-hour sets every day, and just getting those hours in towards being a master at something.
Oh, and that you also have to double cross one of your friends.
Yeah. Well, obviously.
That's in there too.
Oh, man. But there's so much music out right now, and there's so little money to be had in the music industry as opposed to then.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
you have to sell. I mean, that's
you have to, and you have to, they would have to do it all themselves.
Everyone sold out. Who, like, pretty much every one of those rock stars is sold out by now.
For sure.
Is there anyone who's not?
What, like today's rock stars?
Yeah, like the standards of the '60s.
Uh-huh.
You know, like what was selling out, and how they were all against selling out. Do you think anyone?
I think it's
would
a lot easier to not sell out now because of digital distribution. You're able to actually cultivate your own following. You'll eventually plateau.
It's easier not to sell out, but you're not making any money.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
I mean, it's always going to be easy not to sell out.
Yeah, but then you kind of sell out to make money.
But rock stars hate their labels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Many of them do.
That's the thing. I mean, they have to sell out, but a lot of them are like, they get, you know. So you could hear, I listened to the new Offspring one. I was listening the other day. It's so bad. And I hear the rest of the album's like, okay. But like some of the shit you have to do now to get an album produced,
mm-hmm.
It's like you have to make at least one horseshit track that can be played on X amount of number of radio stations.
Yeah, it's a weird new culture.
Yeah, because it's going to be someone's job to pitch those songs to the radio stations that are already dying.
So sometimes they're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes they're just going to be fucking horseshit.
Oh, man, it's just a shame. And then the internet, I mean, it's great for me because I can download whatever I want. You know, free of charge, and I don't have to give them anything. But for them, it's very shitty because they don't get any money. And they need that to survive, but I mean, I gotta get through my day somehow.
I gotta be entertained when I'm on my bike.
I gotta do something.
Oh my god.
Need to.
Oh my god. Yeah. You're just such a criminal.
I'm sorry. Everyone's buying their albums here, right?
I do not buy.
I forgot.
Albums.
I was in that room of guys.
The Beatles
never downloaded it illegally.
Do you think the Beatles? Do you think the Beatles have ever illegally downloaded music?
For sure, dude.
I don't know. What? Why is this a sure answer?
Because you really want to get
when you're that
you
big, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Are you going to risk it all?
Why would they do? I feel
you
like
know
it's
all
so
the
funny.
More extreme shit rock stars risk their lives on.
They buy amazing records of everything.
Just well, give it to them. They give it for, yeah, they give it for free.
Please. Yeah.
They're nice.
They don't have
they're
to go
nights,
to Amazon
dude.
To download the Offspring's yeah. new album.
Dude, their third assistant doesn't have to do that.
A dozen albums are going to show up in Paul McCartney's mailbox every week, and they're all going to be Offspring albums, whether he likes it or not.
But Michael Jackson owns their fucking catalog.
Or did.
That is true. Yeah,
he is dead.
But his estate owns it. Yes. So, like, the Beatles don't even have the rights to their own fucking music. A lot of people argue that after Brian Epstein died, that was when the Beatles started to unravel. Brian Epstein, for all of you at home players, is the manager of the Beatles, and he was the one that told them to wear suits and, you know, bow and unplug, leave the stage. You know, he kept them all in line.
And he formed their image, too, really.
Yes. He was just, you know, and he was able to, you know, kind of be that channel and buffer for everybody. And he, you know, he kept everything okay. And yeah, I mean, they smoke pot sometimes, but and they got in trouble for that. But otherwise, they were pretty okay.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't get as much. Like, I think now that I was listening to a podcast or something about, you know what it was? It was They Might Be Giants, the lead singer. They Might Be Giants, which I'm not. I only like one song. I think I've only heard
Particle
one
Man.
Song. No, it's not. It's whatever was in HomestarRunner.com. It was one of those songs.
Oh, wow. There. Man, they Might Be Giants has a lot of fun. So.
No, they do. I just I didn't ever have the chance. I never downloaded them or something. Mm-hmm. But
the you never took the time to steal
it? I didn't even take the time to steal it. I saw it there. It was free. And I was like, don't even bother, Matt. Not today.
They have a children's song album.
They have many, yeah.
Multiple.
But they were saying that a part of the rock star mythos is to do the things that the common people cannot do, like just trash a hotel room. It's their responsibility to be those kind of characters in real life, and that is sometimes difficult to bear.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this is because I don't know a lot about the Beatles. They weren't trashing hotel rooms or anything like that.
They had some odd behaviors, you know, like
they weren't like doing everyone though, right?
I did.
Only some people.
Yeah. Like,
well, they probably had a lot of sex.
I'm sure they had. I remember there was a weird.
It's the 60s, man.
There was a weird story I saw on the PBS thing on John Lennon. It was like an American Masters. And, like, one dude who was, like, in a room with John and Yoko, and it was, like, when Nixon won and became president, John Lennon was, like, very upset. And John Lennon, like, went into the other room with this girl, and they just had sex loudly while Yoko was in the other room.
Ugh.
And it was, like, his angry sex because Nixon won. Yeah. And that was kind of, like, the start of the end of John and Yoko's relationship. And I just felt like that's pretty weird. That's pretty out there.
I know one person who loves Yoko Ono. I know one huge Yoko Ono fan. I went to school with her.
What's her name, Yoko Ono?
She did a piece. She may have done it at Theater of Ted once.
What she doesn't do anything, though. Does she do things?
Yoko Ono?
She does a lot.
She's a performance artist.
Oh, yeah,
and this girl's, like, super into performance artists, performance art. And, like, she'd do, like, just, like, weird, like, you'd, like, take a ladder up to the ceiling, and then it'd be, like, a note, and it says, like, yes. Or some shit. So, like, I don't fucking know.
That's a great example of performance art.
It's performance art.
Textbook performance.
Yes.
So, like,
that's great.
And she, hippies, you know, right? That's what Yoko Ono does, like, super well.
Oh, I just...
And she fucking loves performance art, and so, yeah.
She thinks she was that attractive when she, in her prime. She's just...
No,
just
I mean...
long hair.
Dude, that was the thing. The fucking British tabloids would repeatedly call, and even the regular British newspapers would repeatedly call Yoko Ono ugly.
Oh, no.
And
John Lennon is dating a woman, and she's not even hot.
That was the thing. Everybody was saying that, and John Lennon was just so upset about it. And he would just yell on television. He'd be like, they call her ugly in newspapers. It's a newspaper, and they're calling her ugly. Why would you ever do that about a person? You know, that's printed word.
Well, the British tabloids are very much more, they're very much more openly gossipy.
But then even in the regular newspapers, they did it. It was the Brits, the Brits took it that personally, that Yoko wasn't hot.
Yeah, it was just, they just felt they, that's just fair game.
Same thing happened to Andrew Jackson. And then he dueled that guy and killed him. True story.
Well, the Beatles would never have came to be without Andrew Jackson.
That's a fact.
Andrew Jackson really got called ugly by somebody?
No, his wife was called ugly.
Oh!
And so he would be constantly dueling people. That's right.
To defend his wife's honor.
To defend his wife's honor. And she was a little homely, to be honest.
I had no idea that's why Andrew Jackson dueled so freely.
Well, it wasn't the only reason. He dueled. He's a crazy old man.
The man was a dueler.
Like the duel, man. I could talk about Andrew Jackson all day.
I'd let you.
I know you would. That's why you're good people.
So, like, what do you... Do any of you guys listen to, like, Paul McCartney's music, like, post-Beatles?
Wings?
Or even solo McCartney?
There's some good Wings stuff. Like, the past 10 years of Paul McCartney has been pretty tame. I mean, he's making, like, mom music, which is fine. He's making really pleasant mom music.
Yeah, that's what I feel.
His last album was called Kisses on the Bottom.
Yeah, it's like, man, that sounds like moms would love it.
I got kisses on the bottom of all my furniture. Yeah, all those kisses.
Smoochy, smoochy, smoochy.
But like one of the...
Mixed reviews from Paul McCartney's new song.
I think it was the album...
Sound a lick like
smoochy, smoochy, smoochy.
But the album before that, like the chorus of his big hit was just, everybody have fun tonight. Everybody gonna feel all right.
He stole
everybody
that
gonna
chorus.
Dance around tonight. Which is
fine.
Which is fine. I'm sure moms love it. But, you know, considering all the innovative stuff he had done in the past, like, all right. Be comfortable doing what you're doing then, I guess, Paul.
Maybe
he's listening to Michael Bublé. He's influenced by
He's got daughters, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like, I keep forgetting about.
He banged like a one-legged chick or something. Is that the deal?
Yes.
Who did this?
Like,
yeah.
Heather Mills. I don't know anything. Like, I really don't know a lot.
You seem to know some things.
I know some things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sticks out in the news that, you know, Paul McCartney's married to a one-legged lady.
Did they meet when she was one-legged?
Yes. Paul McCartney is wedded to a new woman, and she only has one leg.
Appropriate.
Do you now, a big part of why the Beatles were popular so early was they were marketed as cute. They were like a teen boy band, like cutesy wootsy. Has there really been another band that started out as kind of like cutesy wootsy?
Lots. The Jonas Brothers.
Justin
Timberlake.
I love the Jonas Brothers, so shut up.
I'd say Justin
Timberlake
culturally. Yeah, so sure. Justin Timberlake probably.
Yeah, because he started out not cutesy wootsy necessarily,
he was Mickey Mouse Club.
That's
pretty cutesy wootsy.
And but I guess the Beach Boys, like they started, they were super cute, and then they got like, whoa, that's.
You gotta hook them while they're young, and then they'll grow up with you.
Michael Jackson, Jackson 5, yeah. And then evolved.
Yeah. Yeah, he totally evolved.
The king of pop.
He's a pop king.
Pop king.
Tiger Woods used to be cutesy wootsy.
Oh, yeah.
Smooch.
Kisses on the bottom of all smooch, of my furniture.
Smooch. Would you think any less of Paul McCartney, going back to the sellout, if Paul McCartney started writing like jingles for things,
like for Target ads?
He did.
Like for Target.
Oh my god, fucking Vanilla Sky. Vanilla Sky. You listen to the movie Vanilla Sky. Paul McCartney was contracted to make the title track for Vanilla Sky.
But that was the same thing with Live and Let Die, though, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's
different. But that's all different than a commercial.
But Vanilla Sky might as well be a commercial because it's really ridiculous.
People Live and Let Die
is a good song. Vanilla Sky is not a good song. It goes, the waiter prepares a special menu. For you guys, something like that. It's like, and then he's like, in a vanilla sky. It's stupid. It's so fucking.
No, but like, it would be really pathetic. It's like if he like picked some like bullshit company for a product he doesn't even use. Like if you start
energy,
shop at Pep Boys. Shop at Pep Boys. I would think less of him. But
what if he was
shopping for?
They're shopping for air gaskets. Individual tires.
What if he was endorsing? What if he was endorsing a sporting goods store? Less.
Like he endorses like Play It Again Sports.
Yeah. Like Play It Again Sports.
I'm gonna take my baby and play it back again. Smoochie, smoochie, smoochie.
Play It Again Sports is awesome, by the way. I like that advice. They fill up my bike tire. They fix my bike for free every time I go there.
I love it because they're so good at buying and selling golf clubs.
God, thank God you got there, because I was just gonna get there. Golf clubs, huh, Chris?
You know we have golf clubs in the wall room, right?
Yes.
You know we have a thing of golf clubs?
Yes.
Yes.
Why? We have golf clubs.
I've been saying that for years.
Nick has been saying that.
Only the problem is I'm not very good.
Neither am I. That's why we have a golf club.
I inherited them.
But guys, I don't know how to golf.
You know who does, Chris?
Who?
Cloud does.
What?
You know what she can give you?
What?
She can give you some of
Cloud's golf tips.
Oh no!
Horses. Find an adorable trained squirrel in the nearby forest. Take a little ribbon and tie a note to his tail. Have him scurry on over to your golf opponent. He'll think about whether he wants to open the note. But then upon opening it, it reads, "Let it be." He'll start to contemplate life, or she. I'm not discriminating here. And then his mind will wander while you just knock him over.
This has been
Cloud's Golf Tips.
What happens when it gets up?
My favorite part was that it begins with going into the forest and finding a trained squirrel.
It was all over the place.
Has to be adorable.
And
you have to have a note. And you're going to have to tie that note to the squirrel.
Which will be easy because he's trained.
Yeah.
It's worth the payoff. What? It's worth all the payoff.
You're gonna do it still.
Dude, I'm gonna kill you guys at golf because I've been writing these down.
Smart man.
You know, guys, as people are listening to this, the day that it drops, Friday, on both Octavarius.com and on iTunes, it is June 29th.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that means we have some very special birthdays to announce.
Oh, great.
So, first of all, for our dedicated listener, Slim Pickens, happy birthday.
And, oh, hey!
Very special happy birthday goes to Gary Busey.
And a very, very happy birthday to comedian Richard Lewis. I hope you're still doing things, Richard.
Yeah, and, hey, Richard Lewis. Happy birthday to Melora Hardin, that chick from The Office that Michael banged.
When I got the implants. The first one?
Yeah, no, the American Office, that one. You know that one, right?
Oh, I mean, the first girl that he was banging?
Yeah, she was the crazy one, his boss.
Oh my God, can I do this one?
Yeah, go for
Happy
it.
Happy birthday, Robert Evans, from The Kid Stays in the Picture. He's a... you guys got to read this book. It's the biography of Robert Evans is amazing. Or autobiography. Robert Evans is a Hollywood super producer who produced Chinatown, all these great things. Robert Evans, got to read about this
Happy
dude.
Happy birthday, Robert Evans.
Godfather. Oh, Robert Evans, amazing.
Hey, happy birthday, Brett McKenzie.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Brit. Oscar-winning... Britt McKenzie for the Muppets.
That's right, you heard that song.
Happy birthday, Daniel Craig.
Oh, that's perfect for you.
Very nice.
You just Googled Darth Vader and then you get it to read off my computer.
Damn it, Makula.
Makula took LP's computer.
Literally, Google searched Darth Vader, read the computer.
All these reasons to celebrate, we must have reasons to mourn as well, or else the world would get too populated.
Well, that's absolutely true. Every time somebody dies, another one is born. It's a fact.
It's amazing.
But unfortunately, people do die, and to the family, friends, and fans of Roscoe Fatty Arbuckle.
Aww. And to the family of Joel Siegel, American film critic.
I'm sorry for your losses.
Sorry, Joel.
Oh, my condolences go out to the family of Buddy Hackett.
Oh, an actor.
Poor Buddy.
He died in 2003. He was
too young.
I loved him.
R.I.P. All of ye.
You would.
Yeah, Buddy Hackett was that sea or the seagull in Little Mermaid.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, fun fact.
Very fun fact.
Anyway, folks, we are just about out of time as I'm seeing it. First of all, let me thank all of you once again for coming to our Sunday shows. They've been amazing, a lot of fun to
Parties
see all of
are
you.
Fun too.
And once again, every Sunday until the end of time or whenever, we're still going to be plowing through with this show. This Sunday's theme is the British Invasion. It's our the first of our two-parter celebrating 4th of July weekend. Mm-hmm. So make sure to come out for that. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Octavarius. That's O-C-T-A, Varius. And...
We've got time for this. if they didn't spell it right, they couldn't have been listening.
Varius.
They're not here.
Varius is the hardest part.
Oh, well, no time to correct, folks. We're just about out of time. We've only got... a couple of words left.
We've only about
Nick
McCullough's seven words of wisdom.
And happy dead day, Montezuma 2. Bye.
This has been Nick McCullough's seven words of wisdom.
Wow. Montezuma.
Just for doing that, you may get Montezuma's revenge.
No, I ate yogurt.
Right, you're protected.
All right, folks, that is going to do it for us. Until next time, have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye.
Bye.
Run for your lives. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door.
Coming back for more.